You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Here in the Midwest, a lot of people are fighting very hard against the spread of invasive species, from zebra mussels to the Asian carp to the emerald ash borer. Invasive species have become public enemy number one for many conservationists, and plenty of expensive proposals are on the table to try and stop their spread.
But our next guest argues that we're taking the wrong approach to some of these alien species, and maybe instead of fighting them, we should be embracing them. He says fears of invasive species disrupting ecosystems are often overblown, and in many cases, their introduction into a new system can have positive benefits and help nature in a way that so-called native species can't.
Joining us now is Fred Pierce. He's an author and environmental journalist. His new book is The New Wild: Why Invasive Species Will Be Nature's Salvation. Fred, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Rob.
Well, we've got, Fred, this idea in our brains, invasive species equal bad. We need to fight them. You're saying, hold on a minute, let's take another look at that. Why do we need to revisit this idea?
I think we've got invasive species out of all perspective. We demonize them. We look for all the bad things. It's a little about like the way that some people treat alien humans. You know, you get humans coming in from another country, and we kind of demonize them. We look out for everything bad that they might do, and we don't look to the good things that they do. And I think it's a bit similar with alien species. Most alien species don't survive. The ones that survive, most of them fit in and add to the biodiversity in our ecosystems. One or two go a little bit kind of haywire and they take over a bit, and maybe sometimes we have to take steps against them. But most of the time, they're good news for our ecosystems. After all, we're messing our ecosystems up an awful lot with pollution and chopping down forests and so on. And I think we need the go-getter species, you know, the kind of American-type species that can move into a new environment and kind of take over and make something of what they've got. I think we need those species if nature is going to revive in the 21st century. So, yes, they can occasionally create problems. Usually we get those problems all out of perspective, and we never look for the good things. And there are a lot of good things.
Well, and you say they get unfairly blamed sometimes. Often the damage we might point toward is being caused by the invasive species. You say, actually, no, the invasive species is maybe just a symptom of the damage we, the human species, have already done.
Yeah, that's right. If you go out in the far west, you look at people, a lot of people blame salt cedar, for instance, for drawing down water. Now, at one point, we used to plant salt cedar as a way of bringing desertified areas back from the brink and reviving them, finding vegetation that would grow in those areas. So we get very kind of confused about some of these species. Salt cedar are now actually really quite good news in parts of the American West. It's certainly good habitat for American for bird species, for instance. So we tend to miss those things.
Now, you point toward maybe a misconception of how nature and ecosystems work. We have this sort of static idea. There is an ecosystem. It grew up there over tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of years, pristine and unchanged until these alien species came in. You say no. Maybe alien species are the norm of nature, not the exception.
Yeah, this is not just me talking. This is a lot of ecologists today say, when we investigate what look like natural, pristine ecosystems in the environment, we find that they're constantly changing. You measure the species there, and then you go back 20 years, and you get a whole different set of species occupying the environment, not a result of human change, but as a result of kind of natural dynamism. So I think what's emerging is that this idea of stable, unchanging ecosystems that are, if you like, have evolved over a long period of time is a very false picture of nature. Mostly what you find is a much more dynamic, changing ecosystem, which species come in, they move in, they go away, some get becomes kind of keystone species, and some partly disappear. And that's perfectly natural. That's normal. And ecosystems cope with that. And it shows the dynamism of ecosystems. So when alien species, maybe brought by humans, move in, They're not intrinsically bad. Some ecologists used to think that, well, anything that comes in from outside is bad because it's not native, it's not, hasn't evolved in that environment. But what we're now seeing is that that kind of force of change is constant. And I think that means we have to rethink what we think about alien species. They're not a kind of just an alien presence that can only do harm. They can reinvigorate ecosystems. They're good news. And especially with the damage that humans are doing to natural environments around the world, I think we need to look at the power of alien species, invasive species, whatever you want to call them, to revive damaged ecosystems. For instance, I looked at what happens in Puerto Rico, which is quite an interesting instance. Farmers, plantation farmers and others destroyed most of the forests in Puerto Rico. And then, you know, the landscape got so bad, they kind of, the farmers left and went and worked in the cities. Now, which species came back into that nearly destroyed environment? It wasn't the native species, mostly. It was foreign species that had been brought in and planted in people's gardens, backyards. Those proved to be the most effective colonists. So when, this is a classic example of how when nature has a chance to regrow, to recreate ecosystems, it's very often these go-getter species, these colonists, these generalists, perhaps, but these species that can survive in damaged environments, that can do the business. We need them. We need them badly.
That's environmental journalist Fred Pierce. We're talking about his new book, The New Wild, Why Invasive Species Will Be Nature's Salvation. He's showing sympathy for what's often viewed as an enemy. Fred, a lot of times we think of an invasive species as something, you know, humans took from one place to another, entered it into a new environment, a new ecosystem, goes nuts and starts driving other species out, crowding them maybe even into extinction. Is that the norm?
It's not the norm. It does happen. You can get species that really kind of go on a splurge because they find there's nothing eating them and they're eating lots of native species. Usually that doesn't last for very long. The local species adapt to the newcomer. The newcomer adapts to the local species. And after a while, you find they get along pretty well. So, you know, people get very worried, for instance, about zebra mussels in the Great Lakes. Now, they've changed the ecosystems in the Great Lakes quite a lot. But you remember how Lake Erie used to be 50 years ago when it was a byword for a dead lake. And you know what? The zebra mussels were, because they filter feed, they were eating up all this gunk. They were much better at eating all the gunk than the native species. They've actually helped clean out the lake. Quite a good example, therefore, of an alien species coming in and able to do something which the native species weren't able to do. That's why it prospered. We may think that the Asian carp, which I know is quite a big issue in your part of the world, maybe that has a similar role to play in future.
We think of ecosystems often as having this, well, the phrase delicate balance comes up a lot, where you introduce this outside element, it throws everything else out of whack. How does nature adjust to most invasive species?
Well, nature is never really in balance. Nature, as we were saying earlier, is constantly changing. So that's the norm in nature. Change is the norm. So, I mean, you know, it can get a bit, maybe a bumpy ride for a while. You get a new species coming in, which does particularly well. But species will adapt. We look at the cane toad in Australia, which is a famous example of a toad with a kind of poisonous gland on its back. Even crocodiles in Australia for a while were getting killed. They were getting poisoned whenever they ate these toads, which they quite like to do. And the toads had been brought in from South America to eat some beetles on sugarcane fields. They went wild for a bit, but the local species are getting used to the idea that you don't eat the cane toads because, you know, they'll kill you. Some of them have even evolved so that, for instance, snakes, their mouths are no longer big enough that they can even attempt to eat the cane toads. So nature does adapt in strange ways. Either animals learn or, you know, a bit of Darwinian evolution kicks in. So I don't think we have to think of alien species, even the ones that do a lot of short-term damage, as likely to do long-term damage. They do tend to fit in. The other thing to say is most of the time they don't cause extinctions. They may eat a, you know, they eat a few species and damage the kind of the balance that was there before. But they generally they increase biodiversity. North America has much more biodiversity than it did before Europeans showed up and brought in their species, brought in Asian species, European species. There's much more diversity in North America now, and that's true also in the UK, where I am, where the arrival of new species has generally added to local biodiversity. And most ecologists would tell you that extra species, more biodiversity is a good thing. Well, if that's right, and I believe it probably is right, then again, alien species are part of the solution to the damage that we've caused to nature in the last couple of hundred years, rather than part of the problem. I think we should bring them on.
We're talking right now with Fred Pearce about invasive species. In his book, The New Wild, he makes the case that oftentimes our fears about invasive species are misguided. In many cases, these species can do a lot of new, interesting, and productive things for an ecosystem.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea? Are we wasting our time and resources trying to fight invasive species, or do you think they're a serious problem? And should we be trying to preserve nature as is in the face of the growing human population and climate change? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation after a look at the latest news with Kristen Durst.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with environmental journalist Fred Pearce, author of The New Wild. He's making the case that invasive species might not be as bad as we make them out to be. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? Should we be trying to preserve nature, keep invasive species out as much as we can? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Fred, before we get to our callers, if these ideas about invasive species are right, how does this change the way we approach conservation?
I think it means we've got to be much more flexible. We've got to think about encouraging ecosystems that work. I mean, look at how we're thinking about climate change, for instance. Now, if climate change is anything like the climate scientists predict it's going to be, climate zones are going to be moving. Now, if you think about it, how are species going to deal with that? The only way they can deal with that is going to be moving with the climate zones. And if we are erecting barriers to them moving, if we're trying to stop them making those really natural journeys to keep up with changing climate, we're going to be damaging ecosystems. We're going to be damaging nature. We could do a great deal of damage we think we're protecting nature. I think we have to recognize that nature, especially in the 21st century, is going to be changing perhaps faster than it has done before. But this is part of nature's adaptation to the changes that we've been making to the planet. Now, sure, we should minimize those changes as much as we can, but a lot of this is coming down the track anyway. We've got to look at it. We've got to think about helping nature to deal with the changes that are coming down the track, rather than trying to protect nature in some sort of historical mode that it really can't survive in anymore. So I think the danger is that conservation can enfeeble nature, make nature less able to respond to the challenges that it faces. So it's a kind of mindset. It's the way we think about conservation. We can't have this idea of conservation as trying to preserve everything as it has been. We've got to see change as part of nature and part of how nature should be.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Joe on the line in Escanaba, Michigan. Joe, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a research biologist, and I've been studying changes on lakes, Lake Michigan, where I live, and I have an issue, big issue, the acceptance of invasive species as sort of a new normal. I think we should go down that road kicking and screaming. Zebra mussels are a great example. Your speaker brought up, but there's a downside to this that gets very little media attention, and the introduction of quagga mussels and zebra mussels, descended mussels in the Great Lakes, along with round goby, had an interesting interaction with native algae and a native botulism bacterium, and the introduction of those mussels, even though they cleaned up the lake, they have taken all the nutrients to the benthic zone, and that has allowed botulism outbreaks on the Great Lakes to, over the last 10 years, kill well exceeding over 100,000 water birds during migration, including loons, long-tailed ducks, redneck grebes, horn grebes, killing them by the tens of thousands.
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. So damage to other important species from this invasive, should we be so welcoming to them, Fred?
Well, I think it's a loss, I guess, if we're losing some birds, and I don't say that we should dismiss that. But look, change is constant in nature. Change constantly happens. We're always going to be, stuff is going to be coming, stuff is going to be going. There are some species, some sturgeon in the Great Lakes that have done really very well as a result of the changes that the zebra mussels have made. So I don't think, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Joe, but I don't think we should confuse change with stuff which is bad. It can be quite difficult to imagine that when we're losing some species or we're losing species, you know, huge numbers of birds, even if the species aren't disappearing altogether. It's quite hard to sort of take that without some resistance. But, you know, there is good stuff going on as well. And I think we have to think that, okay, we may not like it, but in the bigger picture of nature, nature is rolling. You know, nature is doing stuff. Nature is changing. Species are going. Species are coming. That's part of the dynamism of nature. And I think we have to, you know, accept quite a lot of that and kind of roll with it.
We're talking to Fred Pierce, author of The New Wild, about invasive species. Take another caller. We've got John on the line in Highland. John, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you
think?
Thank
you for having me on. Should I go ahead?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The comment I have is your guest is correct that the environment is in constant change. But we have changed it, for instance, with agriculture in less than 200 years. And I'll give you an example. There are native forbs, those are flowers, that grew in the areas that we farm in. And those flowers support anywhere from 150 to 250 insects, which are food for other animals. Now you got garlic mustard, all right, which I'm actually, the reason I called is I was actually out pulling garlic mustard, and I have a crew coming in for my first spraying of garlic mustard in my forest this week. Garlic mustard is a very aggressive plant and has been one of those plants that has survived as an invasive. That plant, in 150 years of being here, only supports about 3 insects.
Gotcha. John, a little limited on time. Fred, your reaction?
Again, this is a story about change. Overall, as I say, biodiversity has been increased by bringing in invasive species. So, you know, garlic mustard may not be the greatest one for local insects. But look, the basic change happened here as a result of the farming system, and you can't really blame the alien species for that. If we change the environment, if we pollute the environment, if we damage the environment in different ways with farming systems and so on, some species are going to lose out, and some species are going to arrive, are going to take advantage. And if you like, they're invasive species, and some native species suddenly become invasive in this environment, and some alien species that have come in from outside become invasive and take over. If we want to do, you know, if we want to prevent these things from happening, I guess we've got to do something. We've got to rein back on the farming systems or do something about the pollution. But at any rate, we have to accept that if we're changing environments in many ways, we're going to start getting different assemblies of species, and there's really nothing at all that we can do about that. And sometimes these are really good things. I took a look at the example of San Francisco Bay, for instance, which is the epitome of an invaded ecosystem. Ecologists say it's one of the most invaded bays in the world. And you might expect that would be a recipe for disaster. Species are coming from all over the world, a lot on ships, in ballast tanks, With people moving across the U.S. over the last 200 years, loads and loads of new species moving into that bay. And yet, that bay has just been recommended by the U.S. government and accepted by international agencies as a wetland of international importance for its biodiversity. So even though it's a wetland in a bay in constant flux, new species coming in all the time, a constant change of variety, it is in rude health. It's in rude ecological health. So again, I said earlier, I think we can't, especially given the kind of things that humans are doing to the environment day in, day out, we can't think about change as being bad. We've got to see change, in my view, as part of how nature is responding to what we're doing to the environment. Now, I'm not...
Fred, we'll leave it there. Fred Pierce, thanks for joining us. That's Fred Pierce, author of The New Wild, Why Invasive Species Will Be Nature's Salvation.